And welcome back to the Learn to Code podcast. This is supposed to be the second anniversary episode. I forgot to record it in the actual date, which was this podcast began 2 years ago in February 5, the 5th of 2 years ago, 2018, I believe. So, wow, 2 years already. Rambling about coding and learning to code. So perhaps it's time to make a remembrance, or basically remember how the whole learn to code thing went for me in these past 2 years. I have to say that I've not been learning in a focused manner. And why is this? Well, for what I gather, whenever I find a job or a project or I need a skill to solve a problem, basically I get into a course or courses, and I basically absorb the knowledge of the courses and build whatever I need to build at the time. So although this has been very useful for me in order to get a job, in order to keep increasing my value to the company, the truth is that it's not an order progression that I'm having. These bits of knowledge are basically separated. For example, 2020 was the year that I learned Python really deeply. I learned Django. I learned the REST framework for Django. I learned a lot of frameworks, actually. Most of the time, the programming language does have this, it's a challenge to learn a new programming language. Yet, as everybody already knows, once you learn one programming language, the next one is easier, and the next one after that is even easier. Not because the programming language that come next are easier to learn. They are still harder, hard to learn, but the truth is that you become better, and you become better at learning. And sometimes, for example, in the case of Java, which I spent around 2 years learning the basics of Java, and I learned the basics of Java pretty well. When the time came to learn Python, the similarities between the two were so great that I spent around 24 hours to learn Python, and in the next 24 hours, I was able to build a RESTful API using Python, which I was amazed by the how quick I was able to actually complete the task. And I remember that after I built the RESTful API for an admission exam at Volkswagen, I was able to get the job. That didn't end well in the end, but the experience was really useful. I learned Python at Pluralsight. However, my account was banned months after that. And I didn't care to get it restored because I found out that Udemy is a way better experience for my learning process. There is a lot more courses there and better curated, may I say. So I am learning on Udemy right now. I really like the idea of buying a course and have it for my entire lifetime, not just getting a subscription and getting banned for excessive use of that such subscription, which I guess is retarded, but anyway. Well, the thing is, I'm not really having this ordered list of progression. Basically, if I need to learn a skill, for example, Node.js, in order to build Node.js applications in the web, I learned that currently. This 2021 is the year of Node.js for me and my wife. So we are going to build this the school website for the school that I'm working on right now, working for, basically we are going to build the entire project on Node.js, probably hosting it on the Amazon Web Services platform, because that will allow me to get experience on such platform that will allow me to get a new job. So no high salary now. I'm basically working just to as a janitor and a watchman during the nights in order to pay the bills. But big income is not coming in right now. I don't have any debt. I don't have basically rent. I just need to pay rent. So rent and utilities and food, it's all I'm paying right now. I do have savings. I'm sad to say that those savings are burning down really fast. Well, not really fast, because I'm not buying new games. I'm playing the ones I already have that I never touch. That's another story for another time. I'm not buying hardware. I'm no longer buying. I was planning to buy a new laptop because I did have a MacBook Pro that my past employer gave me in order to work. That's gone now. I no longer work with them. And so I was thinking about buying one myself, yet I didn't. Thinking about it, I don't think it's a good idea right now, because I don't have income to cover for that expense. So, and I already have a computer in my home. I just don't have it right now with me, because it's a desktop PC. So my time with the computer is limited, yes. But at this time, I think that my time should be spent learning Node.js and building this website on Node.js. Bring my wife into the project, because she was working as an educational professional here. But she decided that that's not her thing anymore. So she's not really good with kids that are not her own, I guess. So she decided to go back to her actual profession, computer systems and programming. So software development is going to receive her back, I guess. The last project we did was a year ago, was a static website for the school we're working on. And that worked pretty well for us. It was a very fun project. It was basic HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Nothing fancy, no back-end development required. And we hosted the entire thing on GitHub Pages for free, because we didn't have any budget. And this time is going to be the same. But after showing the value of the website, I'm going to basically say, you know what? During development, I'm going to be able to work for free. Here's the website. But if you want this website to actually be hosted somewhere, you need to pay for the hosting. That's going to be the deal, because hosting is not free, and eventually they are going to need to pay for the hosting itself. Anyway, the thing is, I've been working on learning Node.js for the past couple of months. December and January, I was working on Node.js. I was learning other things, for example, CloudFormation, several AWS services and certification courses, in order to get a job. However, since the job requirement required ample experience to get the job, and I don't have it, my plan is to basically get that work experience on this project and then look for a job. So I'm planning to use my current savings account to live without an actual software development job and for the time being. And around May of this year, 2021, I should be able to have a portfolio that I'm going to be able to show to recruiters or to CEOs of companies or whoever is going to need my services. Perhaps me and my wife can work together again. and yet pay and be paid very well. Why not? My wife doesn't speak English. I'm trying to teach her, but the truth is that it took me decades to get to the level of understanding of the language on my own. I didn't went to a school to learn English. Basically, learning English for me, and I talk about this several times on the podcast. I learned to speak English because of the necessity of gaming, and what that means is basically during my childhood, I was playing a lot of Ninja Gaiden for the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, and there was a lot of dialogue there on that game, and there was a lot, and I didn't understand a word because it was in English. So I picked up my dictionary, and I put myself to translate word by word to Spanish, and I kinda get what the phrases and the text was saying there and back in the day. And I keep doing that for some other games, especially RPGs. I really like RPGs because contrary to other video games, RPGs, especially Japanese RPGs, were very complex. They got interesting stories, and this was basically like reading a book, but an interactive book in that matter. So Final Fantasy, what other, Chrono Trigger was another game. Really great games, and I really enjoy them, but I need to use my dictionary in order to read the text. Eventually, my brain began to make its synapses thing, and I managed to read the language way easier without the need to consult the dictionary so often. So it came to a moment that I only picked up the dictionary when I found a new word that I haven't seen before. And then by the end of the 90s, by 1999, I did manage to write and read English very well, but I didn't understand it when it was spoken me, when it was when the language was spoken to, and I was unable to actually speak it, or at least not in a manner that I would allow me to communicate fluently with another person. So I went into my college phase. I went to college for 4 years, I believe. And in 2004, World of Warcraft came out. And that was an eye-opener because it was my first MMO, as many other people, and one of the best MMOs out there up to date. I actually planning to go back to World of Warcraft or to Final Fantasy XIV, because they both are having bright futures ahead. At least that's what I think. But anyway, so and I was able to play with my college friends in a chat, in a chat, in a place where you rent PCs to play games. I don't know what's the name for those. But the thing is, I was able to play World of Warcraft with my friends on the same location, so we can speak among each other. However, as the years passed, by the time that Burning Crusade was out, the need for me to speak remotely to my friends was greater. So, at the time, I was playing also other MMOs, for example, Ragnarok Online, and somebody in that game teach me about voice comms. At that time, we used TeamSpeak and Ventrilo, which are basically the grandfathers of Skype and Discord today. Ventrilo was especially useful, and I do remember that I was just listening. I didn't talk. I did have a microphone, but I didn't talk because I didn't understand very well, and it was really hard to me to speak. It takes me a long Now that I recall the events, I remember that just like right now, I failed to find the words to express myself in the language, especially back in the day, during mid-2000s, I was not very fluent speaking English. However, I forced myself to talk. And people in Ventrilo and in TeamSpeak didn't understand a word that I was saying when I was trying to speak faster. So I was thinking at the time that maybe if I try to talk faster, maybe that was going to be the trick. Talking faster will be the trick. It wasn't the case. So I dedicated my time to just listen. And I spent around 3 or 4 years listening. And during that time, something more synapses in my brain became available to me, I guess. And I was able to talk fluently a little bit more. My friends in America teach me the actual pronunciation of certain words, and I kept working on that. But what I'm saying is that I spent decades learning English remotely because I don't live in the States. I live in Mexico. So I had never left this country. However, my exposure to the language has been via video games entirely. So when my wife tells me that my knowledge of English is actually opening me a lot of doors, she's right, it's opening doors for jobs, obviously. I can communicate with people around the globe without not much effort. I can read, write, and speak. Seems like a superpower that not many Americans tend to recognize because the English language is used by a lot of people in other countries as a common language for us to be able to communicate among ourselves. Especially in programming, all the programming languages that I know are in English. If, else statements, do while, for loops, all of that are English words. They are not Japanese, they are not Spanish words. All programming languages that I've been working on and learning are in English, in actual English. So the importance of English is has been with me the entire time in my life. So I'm telling this long story because my wife wants to learn English in order to stay at the same level as myself in the language and allow her to learn faster and perform better. The thing is that I actually recommended her to learn English going to a school, maybe Harmon Hall. Going to Harmon Hall will be an option. Why not? She actually told me, well, I don't want to spend money learning. And I told her, well, basically the same thing happens with Linux. Learning English is free if you don't value your time. Pretty much the same thing. Linux is free if you don't value your time. And it goes. I had seen several schools promising that they can teach you how to read and listen and speak English in 6 months or less. Obviously, the level of English that those schools are aiming for is not too high. But what I gather is I would gladly pay any amount of money if I was able to travel to the past and somebody tell me, you know what, if you pay me this amount of money, I'm going to teach you how to speak and write English properly in 6 months. And if that is true, I will actually pay whatever amount of money that is. Why? Because it saves a lot of time. That's why I pay for courses on Udemy and Pluralsight and LinkedIn Learning, because paying to learn is saving you time. When I was very young, I didn't value my time because I was young. I was thinking, you know what? I do have all the time in the world. I am nearly 40 years old. I'm my birthday is May of this year, and I'm going to be 40 years old this year. So that's no longer true for me. And it's not, and it's no longer true for me for quite a long time. May I say more than 15 years. When you are in your 20s, you don't value your own time because you think you have a lot of it. The truth is that if your time becomes even more valuable during your 20s because you already have a lot of time. When you don't have that much time to learn things, you value the courses because you know what? I'm trading money for time now. And that's what I do now. Instead of trying to learn, watching YouTube videos, tutorials, and learning for free, learning documentation, spending hours trying to understand documentation, just to do something simple. Why not just buy a course on Udemy and learn how to do the entire thing already? And when I watch those courses, I realize that those courses are a gift to me because really they are very cheap. I pay basically less than 15 bucks maybe, less than 10 bucks sometimes. And for the price, the value that they deliver is way too big, especially the ones that are dedicated to web development and AWS. Those are really, really valuable courses. And they save me a lot of time. And I do realize it because when I watching those courses, for example, the Node.js course, Maximilian something is giving me that course. All the things that I'm learning there will take me an amazing amount of time if I try to even learn them on my own. And I do realize that because when you start learning, when I started learning web development at the beginning, way back in the 2000s, I was looking for a single programming language that allows me to do everything. For example, way back in the day, 2008, we're talking the end of the 2000, I was working as a Delphi programmer, building database application for the government. And at the time, I only worked with Objective Pascal at the time. I wasn't good at it, but I understand enough in order to connect to a database and save data to a database or retrieve the data from the database and print reports or showing the information back into the main screen, whatever. So I was looking for that the software development experience in the web, and I didn't find it. I got very frustrated at the time because I didn't understand, okay, so why we are not having a single programming language just like Delphi and develop the web page using that. That's where I found PHP. My experience with PHP was very traumatic, may I say. I didn't like PHP. It was very confusing, and I didn't find a single source that I would take and say, you know what, this is the course to do, or this is the book to buy in order to do PHP the right way. There was not a right way to do PHP. And it's never going to be, I think. But I digress. The thing is, I didn't find that single programming language or platform that allows me to build websites. The promise was that .NET from Microsoft was the platform, and I wasted amazing amount of time on that one. It was a waste. Developing websites with .NET platforms in the 2000s and the decade later was a nightmare. If you don't believe me, you can research or ask around for the MySpace project, the MySpace website, which already dead, I believe. I don't know if it exists anymore. But the original team developing MySpace, they were developing the website using the .NET framework. It was a nightmare. The code was not maintainable, and the platform itself was the great enemy to defeat in that project. So not really a very useful thing to be experimenting way back in the day. So the thing is, I kept working on learning software development, but I kept the hell away from web development. .NET and Microsoft itself, it was hell on earth working with that. And it was a very traumatic experience for me. So I decided to stay away from web development for more than a decade. A decade passed, and it was until 2017 that I decided to build websites. I went back to PHP. I deployed WordPress websites, and it's not really development working with WordPress, at least not at the time. But the thing with WordPress is that I was able to basically build a good-looking website for very little effort, no coding. And I made some money that way. However, not all solutions are a block. And that's the thing with WordPress. WordPress is an excellent blogging platform, yet not every solution the answer to every solution is not going to be building a blog. Even though there is a lot of plugins for WordPress that allows you to implement things that are not there by default. However, the plugin market for WordPress is really expensive. It's not cheap, and it's not free, obviously. And it's not open to modification so easily. If you want to modify a template, it's a hard endeavor to do that. And some templates are even modified by the author in order to make you even harder to understand the code. They were assholes, obviously. They want their money, and they don't want anybody else to profit using their template as a base. So they did that, I guess. So, and then I discovered online courses in places like Pluralsight, LinkedIn Learning, which previously was called lynda.com. I learned a lot of web development on lynda.com. I continue my training on Pluralsight, and currently I'm working on Udemy right now. So those courses convinced me that I'm never going to find the panacea programming language that allows me to build websites. So it's been tried before. It doesn't work. Because the approach of dividing the entire project into self-contained sections, for example, the back-end and the front-end, that works pretty good for me right now because I took the time to learn Python, to learn JavaScript, to learn HTML, CSS, to learn the frameworks for the front-end and the back-end. And now I feel comfortable learning new languages faster. I feel comfortable learning frameworks and use them properly, because that's the important thing. Frameworks are not libraries. As I had mentioned before in the podcast, the difference between a framework and a library is that the library is a set of tools, and you get to use them fashion you like. But a framework is the tools and the manual and the rules which tells me how to use those tools. I'm not free, not really, in order to use the framework properly. I need to follow the rules of the framework. It's the rules and the tools. And the library is just a tool. And you find, and you use the tool whatever fashion you want. But in the framework, you need to abide by the rules. And the rules help you a lot. because you don't need to experiment, or you just basically, here's the tool, and here is how you use the tool, and here is how you use the tool properly. So I'm not experimenting, I'm not wasting my time experimenting with the tool. I just need to read the manual and the rules and follow the rules, and I save a lot of time that way. And although I don't really understand how the framework works, I don't care, because I'm getting what I want to solve a specific problem. A very clear example is the REST framework for Django. The REST framework for Django is a framework that is built upon the Django framework. So basically, it's a framework built for another framework. And Django is a framework for Python. So basically, we are getting frameworks built upon other frameworks. And the REST framework for Python is a framework that allows me to build a RESTful API in a very sophisticated way, very fast. It's going to abstract a lot of the process for me, so I'm not going to know how the framework actually works, but it doesn't matter. I don't need to know. So, I guess I've been talking about frameworks, so I don't even remember what this section is going to be called, but never mind. To close the episode, I may like to talk now about my the plan for today, because today is the first day I'm going to be working with my wife in the Node.js project.